get ready to be jolted out of the ordinary and into a world where conversations are charged with intensity and facts. The Lightning Strike Talk Radio with your host, Muhammad Fahim, broadcasting live from the heart of the city on Chicago's Progressive Talk Radio, WCPT 820 AM. Welcome to a radio show that charges through the airwaves with an electricity like no other. Here's your host, Muhammad Fahim.
Good morning, folks. So welcome to the Lightning Strike. A big snowing morning in Chicago at this point. And I hope that you guys are keeping safe, drive safe, because there's so many accidents on the roads today. And there's an accident waiting to happen in our capital in about less than 10 days now. And we want you to be prepared for it. So today, we're going to be talking about all the promises that Donald Trump made during the 2024 election cycle, focusing on several key areas, okay? Immigration and border security, economy and taxes, the energy and environment, government regulations. We're going to look at some of the foreign policy things that he has said that he would be doing, social issues. And there's a lot of other promises that this convicted felon has made before he is even come into the White House. And in case you want to look at any of the sources, feel free to reach out to us. We will post everything on our website as to where we are getting the information from, so that everything is fact-based. Also, on day one of his presidency, Donald Trump aims to eliminate several regulations, primarily focusing on energy, the economy, and immigration. And we'll go into some specifics on that. What are the chances of him doing it? What are the chances of those executive orders sticking? And what can we do to make sure that we keep this country sane and keep it sane? And then based on the current political landscape and historical precedent, the chances of Congress overriding any of Trump's day one executive orders are relatively low, and we'll take a look at that. We're also going to take a look at the Facebook guy.
The Facebook guy.
You on Facebook. We are pointing at you now.
Okay. Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg, the Zuckerberg now, bending his knee. And also we will be introducing our newest member of the team over here, Maria Mozaffer, who will be coming up every week with a wonderful new segment called Breaking the Echo Chamber. So with that said now, let me introduce everybody in the studios. Me in the studios today, Alderman John Arena.
Good morning.
Okay, and Ken DeLuke.
Howdy, folks.
And author, producer, director, writer, I mean, I don't have enough adjectives to describe her, Sheila White.
The lightning strikes again.
Okay. And Maria. So hopefully, Maria, if you can give a little quick introduction about who you are and what you want to do and what message you want to convey to the audience.
Yep. Good morning. I'm a legislative attorney working on both sides of the aisle for the last 15 years. So I've dealt with opposing views, and I've had great success in passing these legislations to be laws. And I think the secret to it is consistently breaking the echo chamber. So we just have to not be in our silos politically or intellectually. And if we want to solve problems, we have to bridge the divide, and we can do that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Maria. And you're going to bring a lot of energy to the show, I'm pretty sure. It's all about awareness, folks. We have to create awareness amongst our listeners. And also, we start off every Sunday with a person of the week. This is somebody that who has contributed to the society. And we take a look at what their journey is and what they can teach us. And to introduce our person of the week is Sheila White.
Good morning, Chicago. I'm excited to talk to our guest of the week this morning. Her name is Yolanda Gibbons.
And, Maria,
she is a playwright in the city of Chicago. Her last successful play was in December of this year. It was a big hit. And she's an author and of the book called Let's Talk About Love. A lot. We need to talk about love today. It's a lot going on. Who are you loving on, guys? We need to know. And Maria as well. Welcome to the show, Yolanda.
Hey, Yolanda, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I think the snow kind of kept the signal a little bit low before we got to you.
Yolanda, welcome to the show. Let's talk a little bit about the last play that you did in Chicago, because you're a successful playwright. You wear a number of hats, actually. And so tell us a little bit about some of the work that you're doing in the Chicago area.
I am a creative at heart, so I am doing everything from I'm an author, director and producer, writer of a play. We just ended 2024 with our original stage play, Diary of a Thick Girl, that was held at the Bar Theater in Chicago. It was sold out. It was a great success. We had phenomenal, phenomenal reviews, and we are looking to bring another play to the stage this summer, 2025.
You know what? Let's talk about love a little bit, Yolanda. You are a person that is a heart-centered messenger. You just share your heart with a little bit of everyone, it seems like. People come to you, and you just have a magnetic personality. Tell us a little bit about the book, Let's Talk About Love. Why did you write it, and who was it focused on?
Let's Talk About Love is for everyone. I published it in 2021, and it is still selling. It's available on Amazon, and it's really for whoever. I think that we all are looking for love. I think if we look at TV and we see all the different shows about love and blind dates and, you know, marrying the first person you meet, that's a kind of like a telltale that we're all searching for love. We need a better understanding of love. And my book is about just understanding self-love, romantic love, and then for me, it's the ultimate God's love. And how do we center that, and how do we allow that to be a part of our lives without it being like a hard thing? Love is a challenge, you know, but it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be great. For me, it is like the absolute greatest gift. So I just wanted to share some of that with everyone and give them the tools and some strategies on how we navigate love in our life.
And we definitely need to know how to navigate love, because people are looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. We know that it happened in Washington, D.C., that big case that happened, looking for love. I don't know if they were looking for love, but they were looking for something, and they found it and got caught with 34 counts. So people are looking for love in all the wrong places.
Okay, and on that note, Yolanda, if people want to get to know more about you, is there a website that you can share or a phone number that people can call in on?
Absolutely. They can go to letschataboutlove.com. I have a love collection as well as my book, as well as they can reach out to me. They can also reach out to me at 773-270-2502 to learn more about me, my books, and my upcoming stage.
Wonderful.
Plays.
On that note, thank you so much for joining us, folks. You are tuned in to The Lightning Strike. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back on the other side of the break with some discussions on all the topics that we told you about in the beginning as to what the heck is going to be happening in less than 10 days and how do we counter it.
Are you a business looking for the right talent or a job seeker searching for your dream career? Look no further than the Center for Strategic Solutions, your workforce solution experts. Our experienced team at the Center for Strategic Solutions is dedicated to connecting employers with top-tier talent and helping job seekers find opportunities that truly align with their goals. We're more than just consultants. We're your partners in success. Ready to take your workforce to the next level or land that ideal job? Contact the Center for Strategic Solutions today at 1-847-306-9274 or visit us online at www.cfssus.com. The Center for Strategic Solutions, your bridge to a brighter future in the Windy City. The number to call is 847-306-9274 or send an email to info@cfssus.com. That is info@cfssus.com.
Welcome back to The Lightning Strike with Mohammed Fahim.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back to The Lightning Strike. Tune in to us on WCPT, Chicago's progressive talk radio station. And you can listen to us live on heartlandsignal.com. And later on, you can go to our website, TLS Chicago, for The Lightning Strike Chicago, or TLS Radio. I promised to get the website up for TLS Radio by the end of last week. We could not do that. things happen. Okay. So Donald Trump has made numerous promises during the 2024 election cycle, folks, focusing several key areas. Let's look at immigration and border security. He wants to implement the largest deportation operation in American history. What do you guys say to that? Do you think it can be done, not done? Is he smoke blowing smoke up? Or what is he doing?
That's about all he does.
I mean, okay. Any comments, Sheila?
You know what? I think this is crazy. It's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. He may get a few people back, but we don't have the money to send a million people or less than that back. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. And so the people that believe that, it's they're just foolhardy.
Okay.
He also it's not a million. It's 12 million estimate of how many illegal immigrants. Because, but we couldn't even send a million people. That would be impossible.
Yeah.
Not to mention the disaster it would cause for our economy. Who's going to be working the fields? You're going to have most of the crops will be rotting. Who's going to work in the restaurants and do a lot of the labor that most people who are born in this country don't want to do? The inflation rate would go exactly through the roof, because if you don't have that supply, the price goes up. So you talk about he's going to fix inflation. Well, good luck with that if you don't have anybody working.
Okay, yeah. So we'll quickly go through these points and quick comments. Like, let's keep it, to about 1 minute or less. He wants to seal the border and stop the migrant invasion. Okay, in quotes. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, the border is already, I mean, we have a border, this constant, like we have these open borders and people just walk in. We have secure borders. What we need is more resources. We need more judges to review the cases for asylum. We need technology on the borders. We need to renew old, rebuild old infrastructure there. And we need more police. And there was a bill that I don't completely agree with everything there, because it only handled one side of it, and we need to reform the immigration policies of this country that have not been touched since the mid-80s, when Reagan was in office,
okay,
of all people.
And he wants to restore the travel ban and suspend refugee admissions. I mean, I don't know what this guy smokes, folks. And if you want to call in, join the conversation, we'll be taking calls at about 9:40. So the number to call in is 773-763 WCPT. So keep that number handy. He also wants to complete the border wall with Mexico, which he had promised that Mexico would pay for last time. Okay. So what are the chances of that happening?
Some enchanted evening. Maybe one day, but it's not going to happen soon. It's not going to happen within the next 4 years, that's for sure.
Okay. So that's our fairy tale president coming into office, folks. And don't be afraid to speak out, okay? I know that he's going to send Cash Patel after me. Let him. And I know how to handle Mr. Patel. I'll speak to him in 5 different Indian languages, and hopefully he can understand one of them properly. Okay. So, number two, we are going to be looking at what he says about the economy and taxes. So he wants to end inflation. He promised to end inflation, make America affordable again, bring down the prices of eggs. How do you think is that going to happen, John?
Well, eggs were $4 at Aldi's yesterday, so no, he hasn't done that. But, that has
Biden's fault.
Unless Biden is out there spreading bird flu, it's not okay. Biden's fault, because eggs were $2.65 just a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. But what we know is that other things affect the price, except, the president has nothing to do with it. But when the supply of eggs goes down, because of conditions like the bird flu that's going through the population now, mm-hmm, this affects the supply side, and then the demand is always there. So it's basic economics 101.
Okay.
It's not
presidential
politics.
And that is something
politics.
That he I don't think he ever completed college. Did he complete college?
He got waved through Wharton.
Okay.
As these rich guys do with rich fathers.
Because he had heels first.
Yeah. Yeah.
He couldn't go to class because he had
couldn't
heels.
Couldn't go to class because he couldn't walk there in his burned
okay. Achilles heel or something.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So we're going to take a look at a couple of other things before we go in and take our second break of the morning. He wants to also implement large tax cuts for workers. So I don't know what he means by large tax cuts.
Another, well, yeah, go ahead.
It's definitely not for the poor or the middle class. It has to be for the rich.
Yeah, and they're not paying. So this is part of the people he's talking about, overtime workers, hourly workers, and tip workers. The vast majority of them don't make enough to pay taxes anyway. So you can't get a tax cut on something you're not paying. So, you know, it's this, again, this kind of false promise of it sounds great, but nobody's looking at the numbers. They're just looking at the message and saying, well, I guess that would be good. And then when nothing materializes, I think the problem is nobody's realizing where the cause and effect is on whether this becomes a benefit or not.
Well, he has some great logic working on his end, because not only is he going to cut taxes, but he's going to reduce the deficit. So that's interesting. Yeah. He's got to be a genius economist to pull that one off.
Well, rain will fall up, too.
When pigs fly, right? When pigs fly.
Okay.
Well, Elon Musk did say he's revised his estimate down of how much Doge is going to cut out of the budget to $1 trillion. So... but that's also a fiction. So,
okay, so that's what is happening, folks. We made a deal with the devil, and I think we are going to be suffering for the next at least 2 years, if not four, because in 2 years, hopefully the Democrats will get their act together and come back with a strong majority in the Congress and at least put some brakes on these kind of... you know, Don Quixote kind of plans to tilt at windmills. That's what this guy is always trying to do. He also wants to implement a blanket import tariff ranging from 10% to 20%, even more. He wanted to buy Greenland and part of Canada, and they smacked him down the other day saying that, you know. And then I don't know what he smokes, guys. That's the problem. Okay. So we'll talk about a little bit more about what Mr. Trump smokes on the other side of the break. We'll take a quick break, come back with some more information for you and some more discussions as to what the heck is going to be happening in 10 days in Washington.
Looking for personalized, family-friendly dental care? Visit Distinctive Family Dental in Joliet, where Dr. Sunil Karup and his expert team bring 25 years of experience and state-of-the-art technology to your smile. Unlike corporate-owned practices, we focused on tailored care for every patient, ensuring healthy teeth and perfect oral hygiene. Discover why families trust us for all their dental needs. Call 815-439-1270 or visit distinctivefamilydental.com today. Distinctive Family Dental, 2405 Essington Road, Suite D, Joliet, Illinois, 815-439-1270. Your smile deserves the best. Are you ready to spark change? Tune in to the Lightning Strike Talk Radio Show, where we tackle today's biggest issues with a bold, progressive voice. Hosted by Muhammad Fahim, we dive deep into politics, social justice, and the stories that shape our communities. Want to stay informed and inspired? Head over to TLSradio.com for full episodes, exclusive content, and updates on upcoming shows. That's TLSradio.com, where lightning strikes.
Welcome back to the Lightning Strike with Muhammad Fahim.
Yep.
Welcome back, folks.
Okay, welcome back to the Lightning Strike, and we are looking at quite a few things today, folks. 1 hour is not going to be enough for us to discuss all the things that are happening in our country. So we are definitely planning on going in with some more time as a podcast after the show. And that way we can discuss things in more detail as we can go in and do a deep dive. So are we going to be playing the intro now, or what's happening, Ken?
Yeah, we're going to have a new intro for our new, brand new segment. Dylan, if you could play that, we're going to introduce Maria with Breaking the Echo Chamber.
No?
No? I guess we... Okay.
Well. Okay. Okay, so that's fine, folks. We do have a wonderful new segment that is that's starting called Breaking the Echo Chamber. And with that, I would like to introduce Maria Muzaffar to our audience. Yes, sir. Yeah, there you go.
The same old talking points, ready to dig deeper into the headlines that shape our nation. Join us on Breaking the Echo Chamber, a fresh, fearless segment on the Lightning Strike radio show. Every Sunday at 9:30 a.m., Maria Muzaffar takes you beyond the noise and beyond the divides. She'll break down the nation's biggest legislative stories, unpacking the truth behind the spin and exploring perspectives that matter to you. Tune in to the Lightning Strike on WCPT 8:20 a.m., and be part of the conversation that challenges the status quo. Don't miss Breaking the Echo Chamber, where the echo stops and the dialogue begins.
I love that intro. Thank you, Ken. Where the echo stops and the dialogue begins. So there's a couple of things that stand out, I think, that we should really dive into. Since we are live streaming on Facebook, we have to have a discussion about fact-checking and Zuckerberg. So to catch everyone up, if you haven't seen it or you haven't been scrolling and it hasn't hit your radar, you're probably protecting yourself from social media. But the reality is that Mark Zuckerberg has decided on behalf of Meta to get rid of fact-checking. And there was an uproar of why this happened, right? Like, at the end of the day, people are feeling that Zuckerberg has taken a knee to Donald Trump, and the reality that he wants Trump to smile down on Meta. But I think this issue is not about Donald Trump and Zuckerberg. It's about us, where we get our information from, where are people, where is the generation that is the most active, most engaged, where are they getting their information from? And it's not from traditional media, it's from social media, from places like Facebook. Mm-hmm. So when we are trying to educate people and empower them to be able to make better choices and understand the policies coming down, they rely on these outlets. So can we really afford fact checkers not to be in place? Because you can really believe anything. Now, what's interesting is this uproar about, the necessity for facts and Zuckerberg's stance on protecting free speech, I came across another opposing view. I believe his name is Jonathan Tobin from Newsweek. Mm-hmm. And he had written a piece and he said, you know, there's another side to this. The other side is that for so long, the left has used social media to clamp down on the attitudes that they want to make mainstream. And that has given rise to misinformation, and the right has been wrongly accused of misinformation, right? So here, this is what we see. We see two different opposing views that are compelling to the audience that sees themselves in there. And the critical question is, where do we take everyone in this process? Do we have to sit in a camp and say, this is good for the left or this is good for the right? Or do we as a country recognize, no, we're a country that needs facts. We're a country that needs facts. We're a population that needs facts. And not only do we need facts, we need to make good decisions. So you cannot ever wash your hands of providing factual information. Now, what's very interesting about Josh Tobin's piece, too, which I found compelling, is that he said the misinformation when the fact checkers were in place were perpetuating anti-Semitism. And he felt that that was a huge danger to the nation. What's interesting in the last 14 months is that we also see that the pro-Palestinian sentiment felt the same way. They felt like they were being shadow banning. They weren't able to use the word Gaza and Palestinian. Like, they, you know, 100,000 views went down to like 15,000 and more. So even the algorithm was impacted. So it seems like here, once you're convinced that you're being silenced, you will feel that the system is against you. And so the right felt this way, the left feels this way. And how do we control that? So I think we can dive into that later into the discussion here. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, which I think is very interesting and important for us to kind of pause and give some moment to, and that is Jimmy Carter's funeral and Jimmy Carter's legacy. Now, what we see with Jimmy Carter, if you see, he was extremely impactful post-presidency, right? Mm-hmm. And what you see again and again as people talk about his life is that after getting the Nobel Peace Prize for his impact is how did he reign as president? And one of the major things that he did is that he refused to give into congressional power. So some people thought, oh, he just doesn't know how to get along. But he didn't play the political game. However, he was invested in solving problems. I mean, we see the Camp David Accords from him, right? Mm-hmm. So him bringing in not only on domestic issues, but foreign policy issues, parties together to mediate issues. So the question is, is a person more celebrated and more impactful after he leaves the presidency, right? I mean, is the Enlightenment era happen after he or she is free from political negotiations and political expediency decisions that are made, which Carter was blamed to not make? You know, he was identified as someone who was very clear on where he stood and refused to, quote unquote, play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us a moment to reflect, because for some reason it seems like his need and desire and the way he wanted to help the country really expanded after he left.
Yes.
So what are the chokeholds on our democratic process? What are the chokeholds within the halls of Congress that even leave the president limited to what he can do? I don't know what you think about that, Sheila. I mean, let's think about policies and what we want to see and how people want to be remembered as their legacy. You know, how does President Biden see himself and how he's going to be remembered as what his legacy is? And then how the media and the talking points around who he was impact so much of what we think of him.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's too late, or unless he's no longer in president, no longer in position.
I think he was the greatest president as far as post. You know, there's not a lot that's going to be able to do what he's done as far as the legacy. 100 years old, yes, but the things that he did for Habitats for Humanity, the work, the character, the integrity that he had after getting out of office. I mean, that's just stellar. That's really stellar.
Well, isn't that so short? One of his greatest accomplishments while he was in office, the Camp David Accords. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Middle East situation would be way different today if he didn't get Israel and Egypt to shake hands with each other.
Okay, folks, on that note, we'll take a quick break, and we will be back on the other side of the break with more conversations on the lightning strike. And if you would like to join the conversations, feel free to call in. The number to call in is 773-763-9278 or 763-WCPT. One of the things with President Carter, he got to work with me also.
Oh,
wow. Lucky him.
Lucky him.
Okay, we'll be back on the other side of the break.
I think I'd be interested in knowing how that interaction was. Like, people don't get to see. There's so much posturing politically.
I'll let you know. Okay.
Looking for personalized, family-friendly dental care? Visit Distinctive Family Dental in Joliet, where Dr. Sunil Karup and his expert team bring 25 years of experience and state-of-the-art technology to your smile. Unlike corporate-owned practices, we focused on tailored care for every patient, ensuring healthy teeth and perfect oral hygiene. Discover why families trust us for all their dental needs. Call 815-439-1270 or visit distinctivefamilydental.com today. Distinctive Family Dental, 2405 Essington Road, Suite D, Joliet, Illinois, 815-439-1270. Your smile deserves the best.
Welcome back to the Lightning Strike with Mohammed Fahim.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Lightning Strike. With me in the studios today, John Arena, Maria Muzaffar, Sheila White, Ken DeLuke, and a lot of great conversation going on with our new segment that we started, Breaking the Echo Chamber. And that is going to be consistent from now on. If you have any ideas, any suggestions that you want to share with us, feel free to call in, okay? And let us know, or send, go to our website, tlschicago.com, and send us a message, and we'll definitely respond to you. If you're watching us on Facebook, feel free to message us, and we are monitoring our Facebook feed today. And we are right side up, if you notice that. We were sideways in the past because we're trying to do a landscape on Facebook, and Facebook does not take landscape. We are planning on also going on YouTube and a couple of other media. We're still working the bugs out. Okay, so other promises that the Trump made, that he wants to build 10 new, in quotes, freedom cities on federal land. I don't know how many people heard about that. He wants to rebuild and modernize cities, including Washington, D.C., and he wants to strengthen and modernize the military and build a missile defense shield over the entire country. I mean, practically speaking, where does the money come from for all of this, John?
Well, usually taxes, but when you cut taxes from the wealthy, you know, down to where they are now, you start seeing deficits and debt spending.
Okay.
And, you know, you got to make choices. You got to decide you want to have revenue to do the things that are your priorities, but you can't have it both ways.
But doesn't the federal government print money anytime they want to? And, you know, the heck with our defense spending or whatever, we're going to print the money and issue bonds. Isn't that how they raise some money?
Yeah, I mean, the federal government can print money. The federal government can print money, and we do, and that's a power that the federal government has. You know, if you worry about that, there's plenty of economists that talk about this whole, hair on fire idea that our federal debt is somehow a problem. If it was, then our federal debt has been going up steadily. Right. For decades now, since Reagan started cutting taxes. Right. And that has progressed in this kind of conservative mindset of nobody should pay taxes. And then I guess we shouldn't have any social programs. Right. But we still have social programs. We have debt. And yet we're still the gold standard in terms of global currency. So, I mean, the fact that we're all still here and the lights are still on and the roads are paved literally defeats the argument that, you know, debt is going to kill us, right? Okay. Yes, you have to balance budgets and you have to do these things, but you have to set priorities in your budgets. And with the federal government, we could solve a lot of problems by taking the debt on at the federal level. For example, in Illinois and in Chicago, our pensions. We bailed out the banks. Mm-hmm. Our pensions are underwater now because of the downturn in 2000 in the housing market. Mm-hmm. Credit default swaps, we could go back into history. Right. If the federal government took over that debt, our pensions would be flush right now. Right. They could write off that debt because the federal government can, to your initial point, print money. Right. But we don't do that because, like, you know, this is what we fight against, you know, the conservative mindset that somehow it's a kitchen table budget, not a federal budget.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the huge difference over there, folks. You know, we really need to spend some time trying to understand these topics, John. It really amazes me how people are unaware of how our systems work. And then we get taken up by people who want to do whatever that they want, say whatever they want. And we shouldn't even be having this thing about fact checkers. Because we should be checking the facts ourselves, right?
Speaking of fact-checking, I find it to be highly hypocritical when the inventors of the term fake news now doesn't want to check facts. Isn't that contradictory?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the It's a Josh Coben article that I hadn't read, and I've just like scanned through it. And what's ironic is in this very article, what he's doing is propagating misinformation that has been debunked. Hunter Biden's laptop, you know, just literally it is that Anthony Fauci, you know, who claimed to speak for quote unquote science. Like the guy is science in a suit, right? You know, so this is clearly like this narrative of, well, we don't need fact checkers because they're all biased. Just listen to the president who says, you know, fire hydrants get filled up, I guess, from the top and then they should put out wildfires, you know. But we know there's physics involved with moving water uphill. Pumps have capacity. Pipes have capacity. But if we're living in a world where just whatever you say is somehow factual, while there's nothing behind, you know, the basis of what you're saying, I mean, that's, I'm more worried about that than federal debt.
Well, speaking of fires, they have enough water. They have enough water. The problem is when all the fire, their hoses are open up, the pressure isn't there, and it's just physics, like you said. So it's not a matter they don't have what they need. It's a matter of they've overextended the capacity of the system.
Yeah. Hey guys, do you think that our foreign policy has something to do with how God is punishing us? Okay, first, you know, the money people in Florida, hurricane, okay, that's where the money is coming from. Mm-hmm. Then we have South Carolina, all our military bases, all our military capacities in South Carolina. Okay, we keep on hitting the rest of the world and bombing it to smithereens. God says, okay, South Carolina, I'm taking you out. Now the media is Hollywood, right? California... I'm taking you out now. So is there some kind of a message here from the Almighty to us?
I think so. I think God is trying to tell us something for real. It's okay. Factual. There's a lot happening.
This is a different narrative too. But I think going back to John's statement that what if we live in a world where everyone's side of the story is what reality is? That's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
We live in a world of narratives. It's whoever has the mic. Yeah. Right. And the question is, how can we make it appealing to the average American voter resident to want to be engaged and be educated? Is it safer for people to feel like I'm on team A and team B? And I think that's what we're seeing. People feel more comfortable in a silo. Mm-hmm. They feel more comfortable being like, well, I want to buy this narrative because my uncle buys this narrative. My family buys this narrative. This is what we talk about on Thanksgiving. I'm this team. And I think that that's what the lack of fact checking is going to continue to do and empower. And to talk about is this a mention from God? So this is very interesting. I sit on a lot of different WhatsApp groups with different group faiths. And different faith groups were all saying the same thing.
Really?
And in fact, there's like a Bible WhatsApp
group. I thought I'd come up with something original.
No, and they had images from the recent Golden Globes where they did a tally what was trending within the audience, and God was zero. And then they split to the next scene of L.A. in fires, the Hollywood elite in fires. So it's just so interesting how narratives from different groups end up moving in the same direction. When there's a story that one wants to create, you know?
Yep, and we are not going to be taking any more breaks for the day today, folks. There's so much to discuss, so no more breaks. We'll go straight up, and if Dylan, if you can wrap up on the clip that John had shared, and we can continue the discussion anytime that you're ready.
So just as
I chose to attack you, blame you for this.
It's, one can't even respond to it. I mean, it's you know, people are literally fleeing. People have lost their lives. Kids lost their schools. Families completely torn asunder. Churches burned down. This guy wanted to politicize it. I have a lot of thoughts, and I know what I want to say. I won't. I stood next to a president of the United States of America today, and I was proud to be with Joe Biden, and he had the backs of every single person in this community. He didn't play politics, didn't try to divide any of us.
So what you heard there was Anderson Cooper interviewing Governor Gavin Newsom after Trump, you know, put out a whatever he does on social media. You know, that this was the governor's fault. This is liberal. And that was, you know, his response which showed, one, this is how adults in the room react during crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, what we have lost that sense of community, national community, where just putting on Hannity for 2 minutes the other day, or Jesse Waters for 2 minutes, the drumbeat from that source is incompetence by liberal governments is the reasons for these fires. Mm. Like, we're not even, the fires aren't out. This was Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm. So we're in the middle of this. They have no idea at all what, you know, except for the basic facts that these are winds at 100 miles an hour. We talked a little bit about the fire hydrant system, which is designed for putting out one or two structures. When you interview the former head of the L.A., you know, water system, talks about there isn't a system in the United States of America or pretty much anywhere in the world, a water system, a hydrant system, that would have addressed and put out these fires, because they're not designed for that.
That's a good point.
Right? Yeah. And you can't build infrastructure for the very worst thing that could ever possibly happen and expect, you know, and maintain it.
Right.
It's ridiculous to do that. No business would do it, and no government would do it. The very fact that these things are because of climate change is the last thing they'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But if you look at, I took a look at the average rainfall for the last, you know, since 1944. Mm-hmm. This is stuff you can look up in USA Facts and actual sources of data that the government, you know, coalesces. And in the last 2 years, 2033 and 2024, we had plus 10 inches and plus 12 inches, respectively. Now, before that, negative. This is against the average rainfall, right? And in 2025, a quarter of inch of rain on average, you know, per month, mm-hmm. down. So what that does is you have drought, then you have, you know, rain, which mm-hmm. blooms all the underbrush. Then you have drought again. Well, you just created the conditions for a fire like this. And then you add the winds. And when they talk about, you know, it's just the basic physics of how do you put out wildfires? Are any of them prefacing their, you know, their regurgitations about liberal government with how do we actually put out wildfires
in the real world?
When
you have hurricane strength winds blowing a fire, you can't land the planes in the water because it's too dangerous to do that.
You can't take off a helicopter.
They can't do that, so you have no mechanism of doing that. It was a natural disaster.
That's how you fight wildfires. Yeah. So you can't put, you know, the resources where it needs to be in that moment. You have to work with the system. Now, they want to say, oh, you know, whether this is the hand of God or whatever fiction they want to come up with as to the reason, whether it's liberal policies or, you know, some spirit, they don't want to deal with the actual fact of we affect the climate. And if you look at the trends of the, you know, the up and down, you have longer periods of drought and longer periods of rain. And when it's that average is moving, that's what creates these conditions. So we can do something about this. We could actually start addressing, you know, but the problem is we now live in a fact-free world, because if the president is out there just regurgitating what the first thing that comes to his head and has no understanding of how systems work, you know, I'm not really optimistic about what's going to happen in the next 4 years, because this is all about creating fights between and clashes
and divisions
and blame.
Yes.
And when you hear actual leaders like Gavin Newsom say, I could say things, but what's really matters is the fact that there are kids whose schools have burned down, parishioners whose churches have burned down, synagogues have burned down, resources are gone, houses are gone, thousands of houses at a time. And our message to the world is
drill, baby, drill.
Well, that's on energy and environment now. Trump has said in his, campaign stops that he's going to make America the dominant energy producer in the world, okay? He's going to terminate the electric vehicles mandate and increase fossil fuel production. And he's going to cut regulations related to energy production. How practical is it? I mean, the longer I read these things, the longer I look at these things and listen to this idiot now, I'm really, really concerned about the future of this country for my children and grandchildren.
Sure. And I think the fundamental question is all of these things that he regurgitates out that have no basis in fact are all just like everybody's like, we're going to rename the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to buy Greenland when we don't have enough money to, you know, feed and house people here. How much of that is really a strategically just look over here while we're taking away your rights over here?
Hey, Jen, let me ask you a question as far as Greenland goes. If we and he mentioned he wouldn't be opposed to using military force against Denmark, and they're a NATO member, do we have to fight ourselves under Section 5?
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a legal problem there.
Okay.
And this is what we're getting into with the first 4 years of his foolishness a lot of legal action, and I say this almost every week, but make a donation to the ACLU.
We got Dave calling in from Hoffman Estates. Dave, it's been a while, my friend. Where have you been, Dave?
Yeah, I just couldn't get through sometimes.
We can bring up Dave, and it's been a while since we spoke with Dave. Dave, thank you once again for listening and always wanting to participate in the discussion. What's on your mind regarding Trump's competence?
Yeah, two quick points on the first one about incompetence and that.
Okay.
Well, so, you know, when he gets back in,
to hear Dave on this, and Dave, feel free to go to our Facebook page and also just go to our website, send us a message, and we'll definitely read out your text on the air for you. Okay. So we got about 5 minutes to go before we complete the show today, folks. Anything that you want to do to wrap up the thoughts that we all started off with, starting with Maria?
Well, I want to go back to the fires. I think this is a very significant discussion. You know, how do we give the mic to the individuals that are speaking facts and science?
Mm-hmm.
How do we give the mic to them? I mean, that's really the question. You have news bites. You have a few seconds of Gavin Newsom, and then you have a few seconds of President elect Trump. And so why is it so easy for them to be overcrowded? People that believe in science and can explain the process and say, you know what, let's just concentrate on the fires right now. Let's concentrate on coming together. I mean, I think property was destroyed, schools were destroyed, of course, but there were also people that lost their lives. I saw yesterday that somebody said people did not get out in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's almost amazing that we are in a time of social media where we watch people and their properties burn and they cry over their memories, but for some reason people are not engaged enough to say, let's really sit in this moment here, right? Let's really sit in this moment and figure out how it could have been avoided. Is it going to be avoided by blaming somebody that we can't even verify where that's a legal term, the causal link here, like we can't even talk about that so currently, but what we can talk about is what this actually means for our nation and where we stand together and how we help people move out of the system. I mean, I heard people have the clothes on their back.
That's it. Yeah,
some people don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What is going to happen to them? What shelters are going to be able to accommodate that? And then this issue of people that can afford to rebuild and the people that can't afford to rebuild. That divide. These are the pressing issues that you're talking about, John, that people don't want to talk about.
Mary, you speak of causal links. There's two modes of thought on that. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jewish space lasers. And then the other causal link that I just heard the other day is that Trump said that they were caused by Hezbollah. So,
yeah, but this is his point of, you know, he's just going to throw out another thing to stay away from the fact that, and you know, the conversation, even in, you know, CNN, you know, more mainstream news is about the property and less about the people.
Right.
And I think that's the fundamental problem is our culture, our capitalist system prioritizes the property and how is this going to affect the stock, you know, price of Allstate and, you know, whatever insurance company you have on your home.
Right.
And, oh, the poor insurance companies.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the fundamental thing to me. We're looking at the wrong number.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think that's what it means to be a bottom line culture.
Yeah.
As soon as a child is born in this nation, they're a consumer, right? They're seen as a consumer. When they lose everything, they're seen as a consumer that we have to deal with now.
Yeah. The right? burden, right?
So, yeah. A cost, so we are not a human-based nation. Yeah. And if there's any evidence that we need, we can just look at the way people are treating the people in the fires. I mean, some people think like, ah, those tears, you know, who cares? Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about land. We're talking about things that can be rebought. But there are people whose lives have been altered to the point where they've lost the ability to provide for their generations that they built mm-hmm. all their life, you know. And they're not any less important than anyone else. How do we move? Well, how do we move from a bottom line culture to a human based culture? Well, first we have to start telling the truth.
Yeah, which goes back to
fact checking.
If we're literally lying, the president of the United States is literally lying every day, every minute, everything he says. What's our, you know, that sets a standard that you don't have to be honest in your day to day activities, how you treat your partner or your spouse. You don't have to be honest. And I really think that goes to the heart and soul of this country is lost, and we have to regrow that.
So, John, you have kids, and I know that you were telling me you have, like, young adult kids, correct?
Yeah. Actually, my daughter lives in Santa Monica.
Oh, wow.
So she wasn't in the evacuation zone, but she's mm-hmm. near there. So this is personal to me because we were on the phone with her Monday night, you know, and Monday morning and Tuesday about what's her evacuation plan.
Wow.
While these guys are throwing out misinformation and not talking about the real emergency and saying, how do we get resources? Has Elon Musk written a check to Red Cross? Has Trump? Has Newt Gingrich, who said we're going to claw back all the money that Biden has appropriated? Like, this is the meanness, the underlying, like, I'm going to get you kind of culture that 3 million people an hour are watching on Hannity and in Fox News. And this is allowed. And I don't know how to fight that yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are doing what we can in our space. But this is somehow culturally we have to reject that. Mm-hmm. And that I don't see where it's coming from right now.
Well, folks, so it is for us. It is up to us to keep to make sure that our fundamental rights are being respected in this country. Don't take it lying down. Don't think that you don't have a voice. There are institutions like what we are trying to do over here to give a voice to the unheard people. It is still, there's not going to be, you know, doom and gloom. We'll be doing a complete rundown on what Trump is going to be doing to our country in our next show, which is going to be just before, I believe, the inauguration, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be one of those fundamental things that we have to continue to fight for. On that note, thank you very much, John. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Ken, for joining us. And we'll be coming off of the air on WCPT in just a couple of seconds, but we still have our Facebook page going. So if you want to go ahead and log into my Facebook page. Unfortunately, we couldn't go on the TLS Radio Facebook page today. We are still trying to work out some bugs. And if you are a young kid out there, out of high school, wanting to come out and help, feel free to join us over here. We need some assistance over here for our social media skills are not up to date, I guess, for all of us over here are trying to kind of learn things as we go along. On that note, thank you again for listening. Thank you very much. You have been tuned into The Lightning Strike. I'm your host, Mohammed Fahim, signing off for today.
The preceding program, The Lightning Strike, was sponsored by Mohammed Fahim and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of Heartland Signal, LLC, or its management.